in one of your hands singing, thank you, Jesus. Look back over your life and just see what God has done. We all have a lot to be thankful for tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You've made a way for us, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You provided for us, Lord. We thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
In my
soul. Feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast. Brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church. Pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations. 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all
that you are able to conquer, change, and control every condition that comes our way. And so we have faith in you that everything will be all right, that you've got this thing fixed. And for that, we say thank you. Now, Lord, as we turn our attention to your word, let us hear what you have to say to us. Meet us where we are. Lift us to the place you'll have us to be. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm number 27 and verse 13. Psalms number 27, verse 13. It is our launching scripture today. And it simply says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My brothers and sisters, as David pens this psalm, it is a powerful psalm with many encouraging words and thoughts included in this 27th Psalm. He starts off by declaring who God is to him, that the Lord is his light and his salvation. He's making clear from the very onset of this word that his relationship with God has given him illumination about his own salvation, his own deliverance in the one who is able to do all things. My brothers and sisters, it's a good thing to know that your God can save and deliver you from any and everything. It's a good way to start this psalm off by declaring, you know, there's no one you should fear, and there's no one, because he is the strength of your life, of whom you should be afraid of. And he continues to walk through these verses to help give understanding so that we are encouraged on this journey called life. When you begin to recognize the illumination that God gives to you in every situation, because the Lord is your light. Well, one of the most important characteristics of light is to give illumination, to show you stuff that you wouldn't otherwise see in darkness. It's good to know that when you're going through the dark and difficult days of your life, that God sees some things and then shows you some things that you never could have figured out on your own, unless he who sees all and knows all says all. And David makes clear here, and it's so important, because when we get down to this 13th verse, it's the verse before the last verse, before he encourages all of us to wait on the Lord. He makes clear through his own experiential testimony about his own life. And one of the things I've got to say about David is, I'm glad David doesn't act like he ain't never had troubles. I'm glad David doesn't act like he's been perfect all his days. I'm glad that David does not act as if he has never had a situation or a circumstance that could have knocked him down, taken him out, made him weak, brought him to that low place that he never could have ascended back from. I'm so glad David keeps it real. Now, when you begin to look at that, there are some things all through these 14 verses. There are five particular words that I want you to pay attention to. In your own devotional time, I want you to look for these words in these verses, because they're going to show up some two times, some three, four times. But I need you to look at that. Verse 13 reveals something to us that I think will be helpful in us understanding why this particular psalm is so helpful while going through. Because one of the things that David seems to suggest is that what he's going to is greater than what he's gone through. Let me say it again, because you should have been shouting right there if you got that. What he's going to, what's ahead of him, a vision of what is to come, what is before him, is greater than what's behind him. What he's going to is greater than what he's gone through. And for somebody going through this morning and don't understand that what you're going to is greater than what you're going through, listen, it's an encouragement to know that God has truly got this thing fixed, and God is working this situation out. And no matter how difficult, how tough, and how rough this might be now, your greater good is still before you. Some of us have experienced some situations in life that other folk can't fathom. Matter of fact, there are some things you've gone through in your own life that you don't even know how you made it through. Except for the grace of God. That there are times you walk through some stuff in a daze. You were numb, almost dumb, had no feelings, no emotion, no cognizant ability to reason and figure these things out. But yet when you looked up ahead, what you seem to have not been able to make it out of was now not in front of you, but behind you. And the old saints put it this way. They said it's something similar to this. I might not have it all the way right, but they say my soul look back in wonder. How I got. Oh, am I talking to anybody in the house today? Have you ever been through anything that you have come through it and wonder how you got, because you knew it wasn't you? Nobody but the Lord. And even today, you're still amazed sometimes when you think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you. All he's done. Stuff nobody else knows, he's all he's done for you. Stuff you were too ashamed to tell anybody else about. He did it for you. Stuff you were too afraid to beg or ask anybody else for. He did it for you. Things you fell short of and needed, you didn't want to let nobody because your pride wouldn't let you, but he did it for you. All he's done for you. And so, my brothers and sisters, I want you to look at these words. Here are the five words. His presence. The verse includes his presence, like it starts off with verse 1. Talks about his presence. Then it talks about his protection. Talks about his power. Talks about his peace. And then talks about his promise. Those five words, you go through these 14 verses and you'll discover them there. You'll discover them. But in verse 13, you've got all of them in one. What? How do you say that? Well, let me help you. First of all, the first three words says, I had fainted. Now, that's italicized, which means it wasn't a part of the original text, which meant it was put in there for the point of emphasis and understanding. In other words, it could have gone something like this. I could have fainted unless I had believed. It could say, I should have fainted unless I had believe. I've been through some stuff that was so rough, I don't even remember coming out of it. But I believed everything was going to be all right. In other words, when we see this, what it's literally saying was, here again, I had fainted unless I believed in his presence. I had fainted unless I believed in his protection. I would have fainted unless I believed in his power. I would have fainted unless I believed in his peace. I would have fainted unless I believed in his promise. And so when you begin to realize and recognize that what David is saying is, even in verse 12, when he makes clear, Lord, make my path plain because of mine enemies. That were two things God wanted. He wanted God to do. He wanted God to make his path plain so that it would direct him to God, to the protection of God. But that same plain path that would lead him to the protection of God would also remove him from the perils of his enemies. And so with a plain path, it simply meant that he wanted to make sure that every step was being counted and every step was in the right direction. That comes a time in your life when you don't have time to make mistakes. That comes a time in life when every step you take has got to be the right step because you can't repeat it again. That comes a time in life when you've got to make some choices and some decisions that you can't guess about. You've got to be sure about. And the only way you can be sure about them is if the Lord makes it clear this is what he wants you to do. How many times have you been in a situation where you didn't know which way to turn and you had to call him up and ask him and say, lead me, guide me along this way. Because if you don't guide me, I could make a step that could cost me my life. And so when you begin to look at this and all of the things that he deals with, you'll see that all of those things had happened to him or could have happened to him. But the presence of God, the protection of God, the power of God, the peace of God, and the promise of God kept him looking forward to what was ahead. Not what was behind him, not who was behind him, but what was before him. So he deals in these first three words with his experience or encounter with faithfulness. He deals with his encounter of faithfulness with both God and himself. Now, my brothers and sisters, this is important because one of the things you've got to do is know for yourself that God is faithful. And listen, establish both a record and witness of his faithfulness. Well, you say, why, preacher, why do I have to do that? Because something else is coming up. And it's so good to have a witness and a record that what he's done before, he can do it again. And you don't have to look far nor search wide to know that God is faithful. If you do what you're supposed to do, God will do what he said he'll do because he is faithful. David's encounter with God has proven time and time again God's faithfulness. And he knows that the only reason why he was still here at this time was because God was faithful. I had fainted. It would have been a done thing. Finished, over, through, complete. If God wouldn't have been faithful. How many of y'all know him as a faithful God? You go through some stuff, you don't understand it. It don't make no sense to you. Your heart and your mind are twisted and turned because you don't even have a reference to how to get out of this situation. You don't know nobody who's been in this situation and have fared well out of it. All the kind of things the enemy brings to your mind and your thoughts, and you're just there in a quandary of trouble and all of the situations and circumstances of confusion. But you remember God is faithful. And that the grace of God will not lead you where the will of God cannot keep you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
or the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. In other words, you realize and discover that God never would have allowed what you're going through to happen if you couldn't handle it. Well, if he lets me go through this, if he obviously wanted me to go through it, what's the purpose? But why does he want me to go through this? I can't answer for everyone about everything, but I can give you some helpful holy hints. Every time God wanted his children to go through something, it was because he was either developing them or disciplining them. Check yourself. If you ain't done nothing worthy of God whipping you, straightening you out, chastising you, disciplining you, then you need to start shouting, because obviously he's developing you. Job understood this. Job knew he had done no wrong to God, no wrong before God. His heart was pure and right before the Lord, and his enemies, who were supposed to be friends, said differently. And Job held firm to the fact that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Why? Because he believed in the word of God. He believed in God himself. And he believed in what God had promised him. And he believed that if he had done his part, God would do his part. And God permitted these things to happen to Job, not to discipline Job, as his friends believed that he did, but to develop Job, to bless him and to bring him to higher places than he could have ever gone on his own. God removed him from the private enclosure of his own guarded life and put him out on Front Street and let the devil try him on the main boulevard of life. And while he was out there in front of everybody, he then even caused him to lose everything he had, and then his wife turned her back on his God and said, curse God, and you might as well go on and die too. And yet, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. And you know the story. In the end, when he had gone through everything, gotten so sick till the flesh fell from his bones, that he had been through everything a human could go through, when he had been tested and tried, listen, and proven that he was who God said he was to Satan, then he told Job, listen, this is what I want you to do. Pray for your enemies. Because they were a part of the process of testing you. Pray for them. And the Bible says when Job prayed for his enemies, God turned his situation around and blessed him with twice as much as he had in the beginning. Listen. When God develops you, it might appear that he's bringing you down, and sometimes that bringing you down is to remove all of the things that are false, all of the things that are frivolous, all of the things that are phony, all of the things that are not like God away and from around you. He exposes all of that. That wasn't a friend that Job had, because God exposed all those frenemies. You'd be surprised who you think is your friend when you're doing good. You'll be surprised how folk like to hang out with you, hang out at your house, love to be in your company, in your presence, while you buying, while you're supporting, while they get in doors they couldn't get in without you, while they're brought to another place of popularity and all of these. You'll be surprised how folk love you when you're up. But when you get down, that's when you find out who your real friends are. And so, my brothers and my sisters, God wanted those same frenemies to see how the God of Job blessed Job with twice as much and then gave them something to run and tell. You see, they wanted to tell something else, but when God got through blessing, he looked at him as if to say, now run tell that. He'll let him hang around long enough to see that he was not downing you, tearing you down, breaking you apart, but that he was building you up and developing you and bringing you into the place of what he wanted you to be. So now that David deals with his encounters with faithfulness, both his and God's, listen, he moves to the next part. He says, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Listen, I'm going to pause right here because I want to break this part into two parts. First of all, now he's moved from his encounters of faithfulness to now his expectation of favor. You see, my brothers and sisters, when you know God is faithful, then you have an expectation of favor. Somebody didn't get that. I said, when you know God is faithful, you have an expectation of favor. Listen to what he says. Unless I had, past tense, believed, past tense, to see, present and future tense, the goodness of the Lord. After all I've been through, I ain't going through this for nothing. I'm not enduring this just to come out. I'm coming out with my hands and my head lifted up. Because God will receive the glory, and I will receive the goods. I'm coming out of this thing looking for my stuff. I'm coming out of here looking to be better than what I went into this with. I'm looking for my increase. I'm coming out of this thing expecting more. I'm coming out of this with God's blessings on my life. His favor that he's expecting from God. Unless I had believed to see. Now this word goodness is in what's in called an enlarged conscious context, which means it is in the very largest context of good, meaning good in every arena. He wanted, he believed that for what he had been through, he was expecting